What makes the Jaguars' job such a marquee job? That's the question of the day. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. I think what it is the cupboard being so bare with a lot of assets to go and fill that cupboard really, really quick. And the fact that they're sitting at the top of the draft right now with the ability to draft a franchise quarterback. Jaguars owner Shad Khan spoke to the media yesterday, and he mentioned the fact that the Jaguars have been hurt and hindered by the fact that the franchise quarterback has eluded them. And I've spoken on this on several occasions in the past. When they took this team over back in 2013, just imagine, they had Blaine Gabbert already on staff, right? Blaine Gabbert was in, he was a member of the Jaguars. They took a look-see, didn't work. So the next year they hired Gus Bradley. You have about 4 years for a coach where he has to get a quarterback. So you're thinking 14, 15, 16, right? Think about it. You have to draft him a quarterback. Look back at those drafts and tell me one of those guys that turned out to be a franchise quarterback. The best quarterback to enter the NFL during that period was Dak Prescott, and he was a third or fourth round pick, I believe, by the Dallas Cowboys. The biggest gamble was going after Blake Bortles, and they swung and they missed. That's the problem. When you have a chance to get a quarterback, they reach for quarterbacks. And you reach for quarterbacks, the reason why you do it is because you know that a coach and a quarterback and a GM is often tied. All of those guys are often tied together, right? So what makes this so attractive? What makes this so attractive is that they have that number one pick. And Shad Khan has said, we are going to have a franchise quarterback. And when he talks like that, the can't-miss guy is obviously Trevor Lawrence. So you can go ahead and book it and bank it. I guess they're going to do the due diligence when they hire a GM and a coach. The bottom line is Trevor Lawrence is going to be the pick. Something majorly catastrophic or weird would have to happen for him to not be. For Shad to speak out yesterday so bluntly about the fact that he knows that they're going to finally have a franchise quarterback, where the only person that's really being spoke of in those terms is Trevor Lawrence. So what makes this job, other than that, so good for coaches? Some people think the Chargers job is better. I actually saw a poll on social media where Matt Miller ranked the Chargers job ahead of the Jaguars. And I don't think the Chargers job is better. The reason why is because they have a ready-made quarterback right now, Justin Herbert, who's already taken snaps, who's going to probably be the rookie of the year. And he's a very, very good player. Ask 32 GMs right now, would they swap him out for Trevor Lawrence? And 31 of them would tell you, yeah. Or the only one that probably wouldn't are the Chargers. It's because they've seen him. And even though he's a lot better than most people thought he was going to be, that still doesn't take away from the fact that folks think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the real deal. The other thing about it is this. The Chargers have great players. They have great players on their team right now, right? Pass rush guys, Bosa, Ingram, nice running back in Eckler, good receiver, great receiver in Keenan Allen. The thing is this, if you want to win right away, sure, take that job if you're a head coach. But you got to deal with that monster that's right there in your division in Kansas City, right? And if you don't win within 2 years, even if you go 11-5, 12-4, and you're knocking on the door and you're not a failure, you look up 2 years from now and those guys are 30. Or 31, or 28. And then you go, well, we still got a chance. And Derwin James, by the way, would be like, okay, I'm up for a contract. I want $105 million because everybody else is getting that money. And then you realize, well, I'm a year away from having to give Justin Herbert $350 to $400 million. So how can I pay Derwin James all that money? And then are we going to see these other guys boasting these guys on the back end of their deals because they're going to want more money? So if you don't win it right away, you're in trouble. Now, let's look at the flip side. That same Jacksonville team now has a 23-year-old Trevor Lawrence and a bunch of 24- and 25-year-old homeboys ready to ride. And you don't have to worry about Trevor Lawrence for 2 years for a contract. And they might be 11-5 and 12-4 just like you. That's why the job is better. You don't have to get rid of bad contracts. I'm not saying that the situation is immediately better. What I'm talking about is when a guy comes into a situation and there's no immediate pressure to win a Super Bowl in one season. And sometimes that hurts you when you have a when you have an immediate situation where you have to win. Because most people are looking at the job out west and they're going, well, you can win right now. Yeah, but nobody's expecting that right here in Jacksonville. So you can build it properly. And you can do things the right way. Get your program implemented. Don't take the guy in the draft that's going to help you right away. Take the guy in the draft that's going to be the best player 2 years from now. That's why I think this is the marquee job. It's a place where you can come in and have the most impact. You can come in and have the most you can actually make all of these guys little minions of you as the coach, and they can all have your identity. I'm telling you, the greatest thing I've ever witnessed was the saddest thing I ever saw when it first started happening. I grew up a fan of the Washington football team. The saddest thing and the funniest thing ever was I hated the Dallas Cowboys, and I watched them go 1-15. Now, I'm going to tell you what's sad about that. The only team that they beat that year was the Washington football team, the one that I rooted for. The next year, they improved, and I was like, wait a minute. Don't give them any more ammunition. The next year after that, it was like, watch out. And then you know what happened. They became a dynasty. They won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years under Jimmy Johnson / Jerry Jones / Barry Switzer. That's what you – I'm telling you, man, that's the blue sky that you have here for Jacksonville. That's what you're supposed to be thinking that could happen, that this thing can turn into something that absolutely changes this franchise for a long time. It really, really can happen. And it should happen. There's no reason for it not to happen. So that's why this is a marquee job. A lot of folks are wondering, you know, like, you know, who wants to go to Jacksonville? And then all of my Jacksonville, all of my Duvalians, they're posting all of these great pictures. It's 77 degrees outside today and it's January. That's why you want to come to Jacksonville. What are you talking about? Most of the folks that say that kind of stuff have never set foot in Jacksonville, Florida. All right, so what we're going to do is I'm going to dive a little bit in the next segment. There's a lot of talk about how much money Urban Meyer might want to be the Jacksonville Jaguars coach if that's what's going to happen. Now I got to get on my fans a little bit. This is the part where it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to be all right. But this is the therapy. This is what it takes for us to come out of that shell or that thing that we've all been in for the last 15 years. And I know it's new territory for everybody, but it comes with the territory that we got to go through this stuff. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to do it on Locked On Jaguars. I need to know, though, are you ready for some football? College football heads in. Well, you know, it's time for the natty. That's what it is. The natty's almost here. You know, the tables are set. And we'll see who's going to win that game. And if you think you know, then this is where you need to be. And that's betonline.ag. If you want to win you some money, if you think you got it figured out, this is the place to do it. That NFL regular season is closed off, and these playoffs are going to start. And there's only one place to be, and there's only one place to have you covered, because there's only one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. That's right. You can get the game of the week. You can get all kinds of prop bets. And even on these coaching changes, they have the odds for each team and who they think might get offered. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports experts. All right, man. So we're talking about Urban Meyer. We're talking about the potential and of him coming. There was a report that Urban Meyer wanted. This is a report that Urban Meyer wanted $12 million. To coach the Jacksonville Jaguars. And folks were saying, like, are you crazy? That's too much money. Well, put incentives on it. Put incentives on it. Allow there to be some incentives, you know? You can't do that without making sure you get the best stuff. I was hearing all kinds of crazy stuff on social media yesterday. Let me pull us out of that loser's mentality that we've had. And I'm not calling y'all losers, but I'm just saying we have this mentality here that we have to just break out of. First of all, if you want to be in the big leagues now, you're going to have to pay to be in the big leagues. That's just what it is. When we're talking about Urban Meyer and we're talking about all of these potential high-priced coaches and things that this team has to do, we can't worry about stuff like that. And the thing is to me with this, if the owner wants to spend $10, $12 million to hire a coach, why are you worried about it? I for the life of me, I don't get that part of it, and I never have. And I'm trying to be consistent here because I sometimes can understand why fans worry about overpaying a player because it affects the salary cap, and so it might affect the way another player gets paid. But I've also over the years tried to educate a lot of people about that and tell you that's not necessarily true either. As long as a team isn't overly irresponsible with the way that they structure contracts, and as long as they're not paying bad players and letting good ones go, like the Jaguars, in my opinion, have done in the past, you shouldn't be concerned about it because you don't want them to pay bad players and let good players go, because then you end up with the result that you had the last decade. So that's my problem with the Jaguars. But it's never been about somebody. I don't care that they gave Bortles money. I care that they gave Bortles money and they refused to give other guys money. That was my issue. Because in the end, I knew you were going to end up where you are and where we are as a franchise. That's the thing that bothered me. So from the standpoint of players getting paid, they always find the money. Don't think that they can't. The salary cap is not really real like that. Look at the Chiefs. People say, yeah, they won. It doesn't matter if you win or lost. If you want to find the money, you can find the money. Folks love to take arguments and compound them into something. It doesn't matter whether they won or lost. It's about whether you can find the money or not find the money. They can find the money. Winning brought them no more money than they would have had if they lost, because they're a good team. So let's just stay focused. Stay focused. All right. Listen, I don't care if Shad pays $25 million for a coach. You shouldn't either, because we have sat here and listened and tried to talk people off the ledge about all of these things that he wants, all of the things that he demands. And we've basically called him the Donald Sterling of the NFL, where it doesn't matter. He won't spend. It's just a money grab. It doesn't matter. And then the man turns around and tries to – there's rumors, by the way, and according to Ian Rappaport, it's not true that Urban wants that kind of money. But even if Urban isn't the coach, it's not about that. It's just about this mentality that we're going to sit here and have a tweet storm all day about somebody spending $12 million on a coach when he's also been accused of not doing enough and not caring enough and not being willing to spare any expense to make sure that you win games. And a lot of the anguish comes from Florida State fans, by the way. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm one of them. Get over that hurt. Don't be mad because Urban ran through you when he was at Florida, so you hate him, so now you don't think he's going to be good in the NFL. Let's stop that stuff, man. Put that stuff aside. This is about the ability to organize and run a team. If Cliff Kingsbury can get a job in the pros, you don't think a dude that accomplished what Urban Meyer did can get one? If Matt Rhule can get a job in the pros and get $60 million over 7 years, what do you pay someone who did what Matt Rhule did, but won 3 championships? Stop it. Y'all spend so much time worrying about silly stuff that you're going to drive yourself crazy. I'm probably going to stop responding to it because it just makes no sense for you to worry about what an owner is paying a coach. Get out of other people's pocket. The same thing I tell people when it's about players. I'm going to tell you when it comes to I don't care what. If they could dig Newt Rockne up and pay him $30 million, it would not matter to me. And it shouldn't matter to you as long as the team starts winning. I don't get it, and I don't understand, and sometimes it's bewildering. I'm just trying to wonder why certain things matter and why certain things are talking points. If you don't think it's going to be good, and then here's the other thing, and I'll go here with this. Everyone says Shad has no football expertise, but yesterday when he talked about he was going to be more in control, well, we called him an absentee owner. Well, guess what? He says that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to be here. and I'm gonna let them do their job. And I'm paraphrasing, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna sign every check and I'm gonna approve every transaction. Well, they say, well, he's not experienced. Well, he's kind of owned the team now for 8 years, right? So I don't know what he's been doing behind the scenes to try to learn this situation. I don't know if, he needs to back off and let people. Isn't that what we accused him of doing too much of the last 7 or 8 years? Which one? What do we want? Isn't that? Yeah, but well, he did it, but he did it with the wrong people. Okay, so now he's not. And hopefully you guys will get this. So let me get it clear. You guys don't think he's experienced enough to make these decisions, right? So to just write a check and make what is like a no-brainer easy decision, according to everyone in football, about Urban Meyer's ability to come in and galvanize a program and organize and be a coach and set everything on course and be a smart football person, you actually want the person that you say is not very good at making sound football decisions to go on a deep dive and really figure out whether or not some up-and-coming assistant is the right guy for the future. Really? So you want him to pay somebody $5-6 million and no, I'd just rather hit on a young guy. So wait a minute. You want the guy that's not very smart to actually make a smarter choice than to make the easy choice and just pay the money. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I really don't get it. I think what happens is you get so used to losing that you just keep yourself in that bondage, man, and you won't allow yourself to believe that there's a chance that something good could happen. I don't know what the future holds for the Jaguars, no more than anybody else. But I do know this. One of the things that I've always wanted was them to cut bait from all of that foolishness that was going on the last. I've been begging for 5 years for them to end that. When it started, and I was probably unfair. I probably was too quick on Gus Bradley, and I was probably too quick on Dave Caldwell, and I was probably too quick. But to me, I wasn't omniscient, but for me, it just didn't look right. From the very beginning, I said, nope, it's not going to happen. But instead of cutting it, they just kept passing the baton every time they made a decision. We're going to keep real remnants of it. I wanted them to cut bait. What they finally did yesterday was chop that tree down instead of pruning it and taking branches and keep serving it to you. I wanted them to stop this foolishness a long time ago for you guys. So when they finally do it and you finally get purged from all of that foolishness, it doesn't mean you have to believe everything that they say. It doesn't mean you don't have to say, okay, because I encourage you, hold them to the fire. Because it's about time. But man, don't keep dwelling on the fact you're going to let them re-hurt you. Every time you think and regurgitate what has been going on in the past, all you're doing is re-hurting yourself. This is a new day. Can we at least give it a chance? Just a little one? Just a chance. Just a small chance. That's all I'm asking. All right, man. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you a little bit of what I hope has to happen, or what I hope happens on the GM and the coaching front, on the player front. And we talk so much about Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to tell you who I think I want them to get with the second pick in the first round. I'm going to start taking a slow walk through that too. And I'm going to talk a little bit about free agency. Before we get to the draft, what are some things that I hope they accomplish before we get to the draft? And I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. With the ever-increasing number of makes and vehicles and models of vehicles, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions about your car that you don't know? How big is the engine? Is it a 3-point this, 3-point that? Man, I have no clue. And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer. Choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. That's right, man. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account log in. Ooh, that sounds good. Does not. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at RockAuto.com. Okay, man. Rounding third base anyway. Headed to home. And I got to tell you guys about my friends Peacock and Williamson. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson. Every Monday through Friday, Brian and Matt give you national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news, insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. So, there's some things that we have to do. We have to get the GM. We have to get the coach. Whether it's Urban Meyer and then a GM that can work with him. And by the way, we talked a lot about the Lou Riddick types and stuff like that. This is where somebody like that could really, when you get a guy like Urban Meyer, this is where a guy like Lou Riddick could work. Because remember, I said this organization needed a course setter. And now that you know that Shad Khan has said that he's going to have a bigger impact and be more hands-on, this is where having that guy who is very organized and that scout could work. That's why you see a guy like Terry Fontenot who's getting job interviews, who comes from the pro side, but he's been with the organization in New Orleans for 16 years, but he's also been the vice president and assistant general manager. So even that's a little bit above what Lewis Riddick has done in the past, but this is where you can see some fluctuation in them not actually getting an experienced GM who's run a big ship. But I could also see them still going for the Rick Smith or Jerry Reese types. You have to wonder if those guys, though, would want to be a part of it because they're not going to be as heavy-handed as they normally would be in an organization. So this is where, you know, it kind of starts changing up where you can start seeing some different names. But the names that are getting mentioned around the league, the Arthur Smith is interviewing here, Robert Saleh. They've requested an interview with Robert Saleh, and I know a lot of people have the 4-3 under hangover, but you look around the league and a lot of people are running that defense. And just because people love to say, well, Robert Saleh's from the Pete Carroll tree. Robert Saleh coached way before he ever went to Seattle. So just because a guy went through a place doesn't mean that that's where he was begat or where he was with the Texans before he was with Seattle. So, you know, everybody that runs the 4-3 doesn't run it the same. And everybody that runs a 3-4 doesn't run it the same. By the way, Tennessee and Houston run a 3-4, and they stink at it, by the way. So, you know, you can look at the teams around the league and see that not all things are equal when it comes to running a defense. Everyone has their own variations of the defense. But Matt Rhule is running a 4-3 up in Carolina. The Washington football team has a real good defense. They're running a 4-3. It's about personnel, and it's about how you implement it and how you play. The alignment is one thing, but alignment can only go so far. You need the person pulling the trigger. I just think the problem here was Todd Wash. It wasn't necessarily an alignment. It was Todd Wash. But I get it. Everybody wants to see something different. But depending on what they do with that and what the head coach wants and what kind of defense he's going to run will matter in free agency. But there's some people in free agency that fit regardless of what you're going to run. And Leonard Williams is one of them. I've been talking about Leonard Williams ever since they took Dante Fowler instead of drafting Leonard Williams. But Leonard Williams is a guy who's in with the Giants. I don't know if he gets out of there. I think they're going to tag him because they started playing really good defense late in the year and he showed up and showed out. So I don't know if he hits the market. The thing is with the cap going down and these franchise numbers probably not looking the same, these guys may have some opportunities to stay and get tagged. And Everyone might not get set free that you think. I would go corner. I would get the thing about when you start talking about adding personnel, everybody in Jacksonville knows the players and they'll be like, they're fine at this place. No, they're not. They're 1-15. You have to get better. So guys like William Jackson or Keelio Witherspoon, I would not go get older players. I would not do it. I don't think they need that type of – you don't need to – I would not get – somebody in their 30s to come here and add stability. I think those days are old. I think that's a very archaic way of looking at it. So I'd get long, athletic guys to play in the defensive backfield who can play in any defense. I would definitely look to upgrade the safety position. I know everybody's talking about Justin Simmons, and they should. There's a kid up in Minnesota that's pretty good too. You got to look at those teams that are strapped for salary caps. If they're cap strapped, go look at their players, and they can't re-sign them all. That's where you attack. So if I were you, that's what I'd do. I'd start looking at those names on those lists, and then I'd go through those teams that are strapped for cash with salary cap space, and I'd attack. Attack New Orleans. New Orleans has some guys coming open on defense, by the way. Those are the areas that you need to look at in terms of. But the Jaguars, to me, need help, obviously, in their front. Depending on how they're going to play, I think they need safety in another corner. I would really look at interior offensive line as well, especially on the right side. And I would look at offensive tackle. That being said, let me get to the elephant in the room, the second first-round pick. Every single time I do a mock draft, I keep coming away with Sam Cosmi, the left tackle from Texas. And I know everybody's saying you don't want a rookie left tackle with a rookie quarterback. I don't know why. If you're the Bengals, don't you want a rookie left tackle protecting Joe Burrow? Yeah, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Rookie left tackles, when do you take a rookie left tackle if you don't? It doesn't matter what your quarterback is. It doesn't. It doesn't mean if the rookie ain't ready to play, sign a veteran for $4 or $5 million who's ready to play. Go get Kelvin Beachum back and say, you know, just say, hey, man, help him. Or just do it until he's ready. You know what I'm saying? Kelvin Beachum's playing right now in front of the kid in Arizona. You don't, but what I would not do is pay $15 million to a dude that's on the roster right now who you don't think can play. And then say, well, I'll just take a guy in the second round and hopefully the second round guy can beat him out. I'm not paying a dude $15 million hope he gets beat out by anybody. No, I'll just go get a guy that I think is better right now. And I think Sam Cosmi, with his athleticism and his length, can flat out play and can run. 6'7", about 315, 316 pounds, and can run like the wind. Is a super athletic. So there you go, man. That's my spiel. I'll be giving you more of this every single day here on Locked On Jaguars, because it's your team every day. And you can subscribe on Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on Apple. You can subscribe on iTunes, as well as follow along on Spotify. It's your man, Tony Wiggins, man. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow.